Hey, good morning everybody. מי שנכנס אדר מרבים בשמחה, הוא חודש אדר. And we are on פרשת תצווה. פרשת תצווה is a very interesting parasha, and there is one very interesting point. The Torah is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to order Am Yisrael to do certain things and to do certain things by himself. But the point is, כתוב ואתה תצווה, פרשת תצווה, which is פרק כף זין, פרק כף זין, פרק כף חט, כף חט, כף זין, כף חט, the end of כף זין, the beginning of כף חט. ואתה תצווה את בני ישראל ויקחו אליך שמן זית זך כתית למאור לעלות נר תמיד, ואתה אקרב אליך. And we, who is ואתה? Who is the Torah speaking about? No, ve'ata. Who is ve'ata? Who is you? Moshe Rabbeinu. But when we check the parsha and look through it, his name is not mentioned even once. There is no mentioning of Moshe Rabbeinu, his name, even once. Why? The first question. Then, if we want to ve'ata tetzaveh, and you will order, but we can write it shortly, tetzaveh, tzav, order. All the Bnei Yisrael to do this. So ve'ata, you, is really not necessary. And the Torah, as we know, is not writing things that are not necessary. Even one letter, even one dot, it's got a meaning. So what's the meaning of ve'ata? Then, the parasha begins with the oil of the menorah, which is also an interesting issue. Why? Because we didn't finish yet building the Mishkan. And we're in the middle of talking about all the tools of the Mishkan, and we still have the altar of the Ktoret, which is on the end of our parsha, and we also have the what the Kohanim are doing in the Mishkan, all the clothes they have, they're wearing. And the Shemen, the oil, is for what? For lighting the menorah, which when you do this, after everything is finished, in the Mishkan, the menorah in the Mishkan, when do you light it? In the middle of the job? No. When you finish building everything, finish putting the clothes on the Kohanim and telling them what to do, then you light the menorah. So, what's the meaning of the Shemen here in the middle? There are, of course, a lot of other questions, but we'll try and fix those questions. Yes, sorry.
But the entire Chumash is not a chronological order. Nothing is chronological.
Yeah, but the point is that you never take something in the middle of an issue and you turn it. You take a whole thing. In other words, this parsha could be before the other parsha or whatever. But here you're talking about building the Mishkan. It's not that there is no order in the Psukim. In the Psukim there is an order. There is no order in the Inyanim. So the Inyan of the Mishkan is one. So in the middle of talking, and by the way, even if there is no order, still there is order and there is a reason why there is no order. In other words, there is an order in the no order. So we have to understand. I didn't ask the question. Okay, so now let's understand. First of all, what's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu not mentioned in the parsha? Moshe Rabbeinu, we will see later on, not in our parsha, as we said, there is no seder in the Torah. When Am Yisrael, unfortunately, are sinning with a golden calf, and God wants to punish Am Yisrael and destroy Am Yisrael. You know, after receiving the Torah and doing this unbelievable sin, worshipping idols, after talking with God himself, so Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, if you touch Am Yisrael, mecheni na misifrecha asher katavta, mark me out of the book you wrote. And they say, kilelat tzadik afilu al tnai mitkayemet. A tzadik, even if he says something in a condition that something else will happen, and the condition doesn't happen or whatever, still what he said has to become true. The tzadik has a power. And by the way, we all have powers. We talked about it, the power of the mouth. We have to be careful what we take out of our mouth. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you asked me to mark out your name of the Torah if I destroy Am Yisrael. I didn't destroy Am Yisrael, but still, I have to deal with what you said. So in our parsha, which is very clear that Kodesh Baruch Hu is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, there is no doubt about it. His name is not mentioned. This is, let's say, his punishment about talking like this. A punishment or keeping what he said. But there is also another interesting thing in our parsha. In our parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Kehuna Gdola, the priesthood, to his brother, which is partly a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because if you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu had a whole argument with the Kodesh Baruch Hu when he sent him to Egypt, telling, go and take Am Yisrael out of Egypt. He said, who? I? Ma pitom? No, he, the 7 days is arguing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, you said, shlach biat tishlach, send with somebody else, send with your brother. Okay, my intention was to give you everything. In other words, you were supposed to be the king, the priest, everything, the prophet. But now, because of what you said, the priesthood is going to go to your brother. And in our parsha, which he is giving away the priesthood, so also in the same parsha, his name was marked out. Another interesting point, Parashat Tetzaveh always falls on the week of Zayin Be'Adar. And what happened in Zayin Be'Adar? Moshe Rabbeinu was born and dead.
And died.
So what? And by the way, it's not such a great excuse, because in old times they used to read the Torah in 3 years. So if you read it in 3 years, it doesn't fall always on Zayin Be'Adar. But then they change it to 1 year and it falls on Zayin Be'Adar. But anyway, we know that for everything there is a reason. So what's the connection between the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu and not mentioning his name in the parsha? You know what the connection is? When we talk about the Goyim, the Christians, for example, all their holidays, all their holy days are around what? Around God?
No.
No, around the prophet. Around Jesus. When he was born, where he walked, what he did. Even the Muslims, they have all the things with Muhammad. Here he put his horse, here he put his death. And our belief is that God is only one. There is no replacement for God. And there is only a messenger. And the messenger, he is not important by himself. He is important as a messenger of God. And in order to clarify this point, in his birthday, he's not even mentioned. That we don't do a fast about when Moshe Rabbeinu was as born. By the way, we don't also know where he was buried. From the same reason. That nobody will make Moshe Rabbeinu as an idol. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to understand, lo kam b'Yisrael kemoshe od. Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest level you can get close to God. There was nobody else so close to God as Moshe Rabbeinu. So in order to show us that even if you're so close to God, there is only one God. And with this, another interesting point. What is Ve'ata? Because we could not mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name and not use the verb Ve'ata. We could say, Tetzaveh, Tzav, Do. What is Ve'ata and you? Because this is exactly the point. That Parsha is not talking really to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Parsha is talking to each one of us. And Ve'ata is Ve'ata, Ve'at, Ve'ata, Ve'ata. Each one of us is Ve'ata. In other words, the order is not uniquely to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's to us. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is inside us. Everything that we read is teaching us, not somebody. Because people say, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. I am so small, I am so weak, I'm not clever. The Torah says, Ve'ata. Don't take yourself out. And don't, miscalculate your abilities. Because you have abilities, and each one of us got abilities. And you can get, as the Rambam says, to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. How can I get to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu? Very simple. If you do your share, you are Moshe Rabbeinu. Because what is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'nachnu ma? Who am I? I'm nothing. Everything I've got is from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu could choose, Kodesh Baruch Hu could choose somebody else and give him the prophecy. In other words, me, I am a vassal. And if you understand this, you understand that each one of us is important, the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. As long as we do what we have to do.
It's also the counting that everything is a chetzi shefa.
Again?
Without making a difference.
Because you're only a half.
Yes.
Yes. And understand that you're only a half, you're not whole. And this is exactly the important point of the parsha, not mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu from one side, to tell us that each one of us is important, and it doesn't matter that here we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, it could be each one of us, as long as we do what God tells us to do. Now, regarding Tetzaveh, it's a very interesting point, I'm going to write about it this week. What is Tetzaveh? What is the Tzivui? Tetzaveh. What do you think? What is Tetzaveh? Order. In Hebrew, there is a word that goes very similar to Tetzaveh. Tzavta. What is Tzavta?
Together.
Together. What is the purpose of a mitzvah? To bring us together. It's very interesting. In other words, bring us together with what? With the Kodesh Baruch Hu and with Am Yisrael. And that's the purpose of the Mishkan. As we said last week, ve'asu li mikdash ve'shachanti betocha. You will make me a shrine, you will make me a temple, but the idea is that I will dwell among you all. This is ve'ata, ve'ata, ve'ata. That's the idea. Each one of us is a part of the whole. We are together. And let's see. We said that Moshe Rabbeinu is punished in our parsha. How did he take his punishment? He doesn't see it as a punishment, by the way. He is very happy that he gives his brother this honor. The same way as his brother was very happy that he got the honor. If you remember, the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you go and save Am Yisrael. Ah, what about my brother? He says, don't worry. Your brother will come to welcome you. V'ra'acha v'samach belibo. He will see you and he will be happy in his heart. In other words, it's not, you, Moshele, how are you? Oh, what? I don't understand. What, all those years here in Egypt, and you take my job, and you are my younger brother? A chutzpah. Yes, but inside, you've got this bad feeling. And you know, it's very reasonable. All those years, Aaron is there in Egypt. He's the older brother. He's dealing with all the problems of Am Yisrael. And now, when you need to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt, who is coming? Somebody from outside who was raised up in the palace, then he went to Egypt, had good life, now he comes to save us. And what? As we say in Hebrew, Akushi asayit shelo, Akushi yachol alechet. As they said, the Kushi did what he has to do, he can now go. You did your share, now go. But no, Aaron is happy. He's got no problem with his younger brother taking the position. Not only he's got no problem, he's happy about it. Really happy. And now what's happening? The same thing. When Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Aaron the priesthood, he's doing it with all his heart. There is a Perek Tehillim that says, Shira Ma'alot LeDavid. Ine matov umanaim shevet achim gam yachat. You all know it. Ine matov umanaim. I think everybody all over the world knows this thing. Now, who do we talk about here, you know? Am Yisrael, we think, yes? Ine matov umanaim shevet achim gam yachat. But look what's written later on. Keshem men hatov, like the good oil, ala rosh, on the head, yarad ala zakan, your head goes down on the beard, on the build of Aaron, Zkan Aaron, Shiored al Pimirudav, that goes like his long beard. Ketal Hermon, like the tal on the Hermon, Shiored al Aretzion, that goes on the mountains of Zion. So, who are the brothers we're talking here? The one who is mentioned here is Aaron. But we talk about brothers. So, who is the other brother?
Moshe.
So, what's really David HaMelech telling us? He's telling us an unbelievable thing. When Moshe Rabbeinu was putting the oil in order to make Aaron as the high priest with the oil, with the holy oil, he felt that the oil is touching his beard. But he didn't. But they were so close that when he put it on his brother, he felt it. You know, it's like twins. They feel sometimes, even if they're on the other side of the world, they feel the same things. And here, this connection between Moshe and Aaron was so tight and so true and so unbelievable that he thought that he's doing something wrong because this was a holy oil. He was not allowed to touch it. He only had to pour it on his brother. And he felt his pouring on himself. Says the Midrash. And why? How do we come to this conclusion? Because look what's written. Keshemen atov hayored, keshemen atov al haros, sorry, yored al hazakan, zakan Aaron. One beard is not, don't need it. Yored al hazakan shel Aaron, goes on the beard of Aaron. What's the other beard? Says hazakan, the first beard is the beard of Moshe, and the other beard it was Aaron. And it's to tell us how close they were in this feeling that they felt each other. And this is ine matov umanaim shevet achim gam yachad. And this is a lesson for us, as we said. I said the other day, I told my son, shefa bracha v'atzlacha. Shefa brucha v'atzlucha. You have a lot of blessing and progress and everything. And then I thought to myself, 1 minute, look, this is very interesting what I said. Why is it interesting? Who am I blessing, really? My son? I'm blessing myself. Because everybody is blessed when his son is blessed. But here, it's even more. Because we are in the same business. In other words, his success is my success. So who did I bless?
Yourself.
And I thought to myself, that's the idea. This is the idea of being together. When I bless a Jew, I have to feel he's my partner. So who am I blessing? I'm blessing myself. This is v'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. If we will have this feeling, it was so easy to us to look at the good side of people. The same way as you go to children. You try to see the good side. Yes.
Did the Chazal have a commentary that Aaron had Ruach HaKodesh, that he would be the Kohen Gadol?
No, I didn't see. I didn't see anything about it. It was like, you see, no Moshe, no Aaron cared about it. They didn't look for jobs. Unfortunately, like today, people are looking for jobs and they're prepared to do unbelievable things for this. Aaron was chose, and that's what, by the way, is written. Ve'ata akrev alecha, and you take close to you at Aaron Achicha and his sons, mitoch bnei Israel, from inside Am Israel. Because a leader, one who has to teach others, he has to come where from?
Inside.
Not from the outside.
From inside.
From inside. He has to know the people. He has to relate to them. Which is also another important thing. There is so many important points here in all the parshiyot. So a lot of things to learn.
That's even when a rabbi gives a talk, he has to know his congregation.
Exactly, because otherwise, you see, we are approaching Purim. Haman HaRasha was something that made him crazy, and it also was the way he convinced the king Ahasuerus to give him the ring to do whatever he wants to with Am Yisrael. And he says, Yeshno Am Echad, Meforaz, Mefuzar Umeforad Ben Amim, Bechol Medinot Malchutecha Vedateem Shonot Mikol Am. There is one nation that they are all around, spread, but they are one nation and they don't care about all the laws of the other traditions and going on the goyim. They keep their own rules. Am mefuzar meforad. They are not together. They are spread all over the world. But still, they are one. And this killed Haman HaRasha. And think about it. You know, there's a story years ago of the Montefiore, Sir Montefiore, came from England to Syria because they were executing a Jew, a Syrian Jew, about something. And he came from England to save him. So the king at that time of Syria asked him, why do you care? I'm killing one of my citizens. Why do you care? But do you think I care if somebody that from our people in the other side of the world, they are going to execute, I care about it? But that's Am Yisrael. It doesn't matter where we are connected. The Rav Shvadron Zatzal tells a personal story. At the war, the Second World War, he was escaping from Poland. And he was going with the trains, and whatever they took him, he just went on the train. And then he comes one night to Bukhara. And there are no trains. And it's the middle of war, and there's a curfew. The minute there is dark, there is a curfew. And if somebody is being caught outside in curfew, he goes to jail, and if they found out he's a Jew, oh, he's not going to go out of jail, let's put it this way. He doesn't know what to do. It's getting dark. And there are no trains going anywhere. He sees this old guy at the other side of the station polishing shoes, which is something they don't see a lot today. Maybe in Jerusalem you see here and there, but at the old times, you used to have in the corner of the streets those people who were shining your shoes. Anyway, he sees this guy and he thinks, maybe, I've got a feeling, maybe he's Jewish. So, what do I do? If I come and ask him, are you Jew? If he's not, who knows how it's going to end? Nevertheless, he doesn't understand my language, I don't understand his language. What do I do? So he went near him and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And this old guy answered, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. And with signs, language, with the hands, they were talking for 11 days. He kept him at his home for 11 days. And one day, Rav Shvadron is standing in the window and his tears come up. And he says, look what Am Yisrael is. Look this unbelievable nation. This guy doesn't know a word in Polish, in Yiddish, and I don't know a word in Bukhari. But we are Jews and we are connected. And this is exactly what Haman HaRasha couldn't stand. And a lot of the goyim couldn't stand. But that's our power. That's the power of Am Yisrael. And where comes this power from? From the menorah. That's the reason that the oil of the menorah is mentioned here. Why here? Before you take a human being to do the job, he has to understand that it has to come from a pure. You know how pure it has to be? Rashi says on the spot. Shem men zayit katit lama'or. We're talking about the first drop of every olive. Only the first drop. The second drop is no good already. Only the first drop. Why? Can you imagine to yourself how many olives they need to make this oil for the menorah? Unbelievable. So, what's the idea? Okay, pure, but only the first drop? It says yes. The menorah is the symbol of the light of the Torah. It's the symbol of educating the next generation. It's the symbol of the light of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this can be only from the purest source. And if not, we have a problem. We have a big problem. And unfortunately today also, when we want to learn the real Torah, the real mitzvah, the real way to act, we can only take it only from a pure source. Because if we don't take it from a pure source, I don't want to go into this issue. There are a lot of problems. We try to do, and it's not an easy issue, by the way. It's very complicated. But we have to understand at the end of the day, our sages were not stupid. They were more clever than us. And if they told us certain things, they knew what they're talking about. And the same way, as we said, only if we are together, each one of us doing his own job. In our parsha, we have Kohanim, we have Leviim. Each one has to do his own job. Because if we try to do the other one job, there will be chaos. If a man will try to be a woman, and a woman will try to be a man, if a Kohen will try to be... Somebody asked me, so what's the problem? I said, I want the job of a Kohen. Is there a problem that I cannot do this? What's the problem? I can learn what he's doing, and I can do the same thing. So why can't I? Because I was not born a Kohen. What can I do? It's not a physical thing. It's not a logical thing. It's the way the Torah is built. It's the way the Kodesh Baruch Hu created us. He gave each one of us a tool. So a Kohen is a Kohen. By the way, a Kohen can also not be Israel. He cannot be like me. He can also, okay, I had enough. I don't want to be a Kohen. Sorry. You were born a Kohen. You will be a Kohen. And he's got certain obligations and certain, let's say, rules. You're not allowed to marry a divorcee and a lot of other things. He has to be pure. A Levi also. He's got his own things. He cannot be a Kohen. A Kohen cannot be a Levi. And Israel cannot be a Levi. That's the way it is. Who gave us brain? The Kodesh Baruch Hu. As we said before, what's Ve'ata? What is Ve'ata? Each one of us got powers. And he has to use his powers, not other ones. Don't look at the others. That's our problem always. We try always to look what the others got. Do your share. Believe me, if each one of us will do his own share, everything will look much better, and then we can unite. It's like marriage. When you, as a couple, you are not the same. By the way, those are the same, doesn't work. I don't know if you know it, but in life, if you are exactly as your wife, and your wife is exactly as the man, it won't work. Why? Because you have to connect. And in order to connect, you cannot be like this. You have to be like, you have to be, go in or out. In other words, you need to have, how do you say, something that, like in when you take a chair and you put it together, you have the thing, how you say it? You have, yeah? No, you have the what goes in, and you have the hole, and you have the pole that goes in the hole. A dowel. Otherwise, it won't work. And sometimes, even if you put the best, glue, it will get a bang and it will collapse. But if it's like this, it's almost impossible to break it. In other words, when a man and a woman meet, and each one of us gives his own abilities to the partnership, to be in a couple, then it works. It's to fulfill each other. That's the way it is. And that's the way the whole world is built. That's why we see here that before we go to the Kohen, the Torah is telling us, Ve'ata, you have to understand that the temple, the whole idea of the temple, is for us to spread the light to the whole world. But in order to spread the light, we have to get the purest light. Because otherwise, you know what it is? When you, a small angle, in the beginning, there is not a lot of difference. But when it goes far, what happens? It goes far and far and far. So in other words, if I bend a rule of the Torah, maybe now I don't feel, well, it looks the same, it's not so... But you will see, it will grow and grow and grow and grow. And we saw it in our nations. We had a lot of groups in the Jewish tradition. And a lot of those groups vanished. They went into being a part of the Goyim. By the way, also, by if you look at all the Mishichei HaSheker we had, all the false... prophets that we had, that they lead a lot of our nation to be Goyim. Those are famous stories. People went after them, and they were not really the Messiah. They were just pretending, and even sometimes Michiganers, they thought maybe. So always I remember, and I don't see him anymore, but when he used to go to the Kotel, you had this guy, was he's David HaMelech. He's dressed like, and he's doing it with the violin. Well, it's a Michiganer. But imagine to yourself that somebody will go after this Michigan. And this happened.
How will you know that God makes me ask about Mashiach? How will you know that that's the real one?
The Rambam says, when he's going to come, you will know. And I tell you why. No, it's very simple. You have to look, Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, one of the things is, did Moshe Rabbeinu know he is the Savior?
No.
When he was born?
No.
When did he know it? Suddenly. In other words, the Mashiach is not somebody who is going to say, I am a Mashiach. And then we'll start. No. The Mashiach is one of us that lives in this each generation, by the way. And one day, when the time is there, hopefully very soon, the Kodesh Boruch is going to tell him, you are the Mashiach. Now start. At the same spot, he's going to do it. And we all know he's not going to choose. He's going to choose somebody that is really pure, like Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you want to know who is the Mashiach, it's the same story with Moshe Rabbeinu. He has to give proofs. He has to tell us things. He has to show us things. And the point is that, first of all, in order to be qualified, you need to be a Talmid Chacham. You need to be connected to the purity of the Torah. And as they say, the minute, believe me, you will know he is the Mashiach.
Is this like the same situation as a Lamed Vav in regeneration?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, the same thing. But and they, by the way, I don't know if the Lamed Vav Tzadikim know that they are Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Also.
Their mothers know.
Could be.
But it won't be a woman.
I don't think it's a woman, it's a man. But you see, man and woman, that's a mistake. That's a mistake that we always talk about. It. There is no man and woman. There is a human being. The human being is built from man and woman. By the way, the Torah tells us, if we want to be all, what do we have to do? All is only if there is a male and a female together. Otherwise, it's not all, it's only half. Yes, sorry.
But the principle of the Shia, the atomic Chacham, extends further. We have to know what's in the Torah to identify it. That's why one of the reasons why we have to learn Torah.
Of course. But I'm saying when the Mashiach will come, us simple people, don't worry. We will know it's the Mashiach.
No, because if he preaches something and we know that it's not genuine Torah, we know he's not the Mashiach.
Exactly.
The only way we can know that is by studying Torah.
And by the way, you have to say, I have a cousin, third degree or something, he wrote a book on Mashiachei Sheker. And when you read this book, we think it's one or two or three. There were many Mashiachei Sheker. And you have to understand, they had powers. It's not simple. They were not stupid people. They were very clever, and some of them had power. They used even sometimes Kabbalah and did certain things. But unfortunately, you know, power corrupts. We all know it. That's what's written, not simple people. It's going to hurt who? The wise people, the clever people. Yes.
I have a book in South Africa still. It's called The 50 Messiahs. It's a wonderful historical.
Yeah. I don't remember how many he's got in his book, yeah, but there are quite a lot.
He talks about 50.
No, I'm saying. I'm not going to go into this issue. I want to believe that it's not the Rebbe himself, but his follower. But of course, it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. No, it's exactly the same thing. He is not the Mashiach, Nekuda. He is dead. The Rabbi Milubavitch. He's dead. He was a great guy, and I'm sure he's in a very good place in Gan Eden, but he's not the Mashiach. I'm saying. I'm saying. I'm not talking about the Rabbi. I'm talking about his followers.
I have a book here in English called Hu Yigaleinu, He Will Redeem Us. It's about the people who compiled the book of things which the Rebbe said which indicated that he could have been Mashiach. But he actually said he was never Mashiach.
Could have been. As we said, in every generation there's somebody, and maybe the Rebbe Milubavitch was the candidate to be the Mashiach. Could be. But I'm saying could be, but now? How can it? He's dead. He's in heaven. And the Mashiach has to come from one of us. Bezrat Hashem, we should make ve'ata ve'ata, each one of us is his own job, and the Mashiach will come b'mera b'yameinu, amen.